Good morning, and thank you for joining me on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and I have done it again. I have brought to you a great group of people. We're going to educate you, we're going to entertain you, we're going to answer some of your questions, but we're also going to give you information that you may never have thought about. But before we get into today's show, I'm going to ask you to do what I always ask you to do. And that's right, I need you to go tweet someone, inbox someone, text someone, call someone, and let them know the Roundtable Talk Show is live because friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. That's right. And so I'm going to go ahead and introduce our next guest, but before our first guest, but before I do that, grab your pen, grab your paper, get ready to take some notes. So our first guest is Greg Jung. He is a real estate specialist and he specializes in homes for heroes. Good morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. How are you?
I am excellent. I'm excited to be able to talk to all of you this morning. Where are you calling us from?
I'm located in Phoenix, Arizona.
How's it going in Phoenix these days?
It is hot. So it is triple digits right now. So it's in the hundreds. Summer is in full swing right now. But Phoenix, I've been here for about 15 years. So it's definitely a place I call home at this point.
It's so wonderful. Usually I don't even ask about where people are located, but I just felt that. Isn't this good to have a conversation about the weather? You know, we used to call that small talk. He's like, how's the weather? But now after everything going in the world, it's like you just want to have that casual conversation sometimes. But one of the things that interests me about you, Greg, was the whole idea of homes for heroes. What exactly is Homes for Heroes?
Yeah, so it's a great program. It actually started in New York, and I'm from New York originally, but it started right after the 9/11 attacks. And basically, what it is, it's a program that helps. There's five categories. So it's basically people that give back to the community. And it's the only way that I know how to give back, and that's through real estate. And the five categories that I help out are firefighters, law enforcement, military, healthcare workers, and teachers. And the way I do that is, like I said, it is through real estate. If one of those heroes is, buying or selling a home, I help them through that process like I normally would. That process is exactly the same. But on the back end, I basically give up some of my commission, about a third of my commission. And that goes to Homes for Heroes. Homes for Heroes then sends a check directly to that hero after they close on that home. So it's a really great program, like I said, just to give back to people in our community. And the reason, the big why that I did it was because these people are doing jobs that I either can't do or I chose not to do. So I really respect them, especially during this crazy time with COVID and everything else going on in our country. All pretty much all those five categories are giving back to our communities. They're helping our communities stay strong through this crazy time. So it's just a great program, and it's a great way to give back, like I said, through real estate. And that's the way that I can give back. And it's been really great to give back to these local community heroes.
I love that because so often, especially in right now, what's going on in the world, the one thing that I keep hearing is, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do anything. And I love the way you said repeatedly, this is the way I give back. Like you took what you do and said, you know what, there must be something within that I can be of service. And I definitely applaud that. Is there an aspect of what you do that focuses on encouraging people or encouraging those heroes to be homeowners?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, just like any other person that is a renter or is maybe not a homeowner at this point, there is that talk of the pros and cons versus owning a home versus renting a home, and there are pros and cons on both sides. I totally understand that. But when it comes to local heroes, chances are they're going to be in a community for a long time. They're probably not moving from Phoenix to California or Florida at this point, because a lot of them are really rooted in their careers. So having that conversation, is a part of my job, and it's a great part of my job. I love talking to the heroes directly to find out exactly, what's going in the mind of on a firefighter when they're going on a call, or something like that. Something that I would really never experience because I'm not a firefighter or I'm not a police officer. So it's just really great to give back that way and to really, you know, like I said, dive into their heads and kind of find out what's going on, you know, in the community, in the streets, and with the people that are they're serving, you know, our local communities.
What have you seen as far as the real estate trends over the last 3 months? You know, there are some people who are like, oh, this is the worst possible time to buy. Do not buy anything. And then there are other people who are like, you can get homes and real estate for pennies on the dollar. People are just walking away from these homes. What are your thoughts, Greg?
So I can only speak to the Phoenix market, but the past 3 months, the Phoenix market has still been on fire. Even before March, before COVID-19, it was a very strong seller's market. Once COVID-19 hit, it became less of a seller's market, but it's still a strong seller's market. You know, if you put a house up for sale, there's usually 3, 4, 5 offers. And again, it kind of depends on the price range and everything. But at this point, sellers are still selling. There's still a lot of demand and not a lot of supply. So that'll create a seller's market. I think in the future, there will be some opportunities to buy some real estate. I don't know if it's that necessarily in the residential space. It might be in more commercial, like student housing. Obviously, colleges are a little bit uncertain on what's going to happen if they're going to return in the fall or next year, or if a lot of that's going to switch to online learning. So that's where the uncertainty comes in. But I think for residential, at least in Phoenix, it's still going very, very strong.
That's wonderful. One of the reasons why I do the roundtable talk show, it's one of those mornings, I guess. But one of the reasons why I do the roundtable talk show is to make new friends, to meet new people. So, Greg, I want to introduce you and everyone else to one of my good friends, Allison Allman, and she's someone you may want to get to know. She works with real estate individuals, but she also works with consumers to help them get organized. Good morning, Allison. How are you?
Good morning, Ms. Sharifa. I am doing great. And I'm excited to be here.
I'm excited to have you back. For people who have tuned in to Ask Sharifa Videocast or the Roundtable Talk Show, you've definitely seen Allison Almy here before. She is one of our regulars, and she always brings us a lot of information. So, Allison, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
So, I live in Southern California. I live in Fullerton, Orange County. I've lived here my whole life. I've moved actually 30 times and I've stayed within the county. So I have lots of experience about packing up my own stuff and what's really needed in a household. I definitely lean on my experience when I am introduced to just different types of families and people in need. A lot of people I have discovered I focus my attention on helping people that are overwhelmed in their situation and come in and kind of be the action hero that comes in and saves the day. Quite a few people contact me when they're overwhelmed with clutter. I come in and I kind of wham bam it and make it all free flowing space that they can be relaxed and calm in, especially when COVID and the safer at home order went into effect a couple months for us. Everyone was stuck at home and they were just seeing all their clutter and seeing all these eyesores. And some people, you know, hopped on organizing drawers and whatnot, and other people just hid away in a room and, you know, stayed away from it. So this was definitely a learning period for, you know, all of us. And I've been back at work since May 5th, organizing garages, packing people for when they're moving. I've been unpacking people. People have been putting their home on the market. I've been getting their homes ready. So it's just been a whirlwind of everything happening right now.
Did you bring me some lemon pepper wings? That's what I want to know. Did you bring me some lemon pepper wings?
No, but man, that sounds like a good breakfast right now.
So I want to ask you this, or actually share this. One of the things that I really love about you, there are a million different ones, but you are one of those people that I was able to watch you go through this COVID-19 quarantine, from watching you and knowing your home organizer business to watching you pivot to be able to sustain your business during this time frame to going, like you said, back to business as normal or usual on May 5th. But what was that time like for you? And I know we talked about a little bit before how you made the decision to go virtual. Can you talk a little bit about that, Allison?
Sure. Back in April, pretty much my whole pipeline of work ended. Normally I work about 26 days out of the month, and I only worked 5 days outside of my home in April. So I had to do something those other 22 days of the month. And so I used that time to hop on the Zoom and work on a digital background and just work on my brand. I basically had a new schedule where I started at 8 o'clock in the morning, sitting in front of the computer, going to networking meetings, because all my networking meetings were switching to online. I went to a bunch of networking meetings. And then the afternoon, I went to different brand influencer webinars where we talked about expanding our brand and marketing and working on our social media profiles, because everyone was saying that there was a 40% increase on Facebook and Instagram. And so if you weren't using this time to be marketing, that you were just going to get kind of forgotten about. So I definitely, and then it's definitely was using that time period to work on my profiles, work on my pictures, work on my branding. And then at 6 o'clock, I would close down the computer and then it would be social. So it really, I really noticed that's one of the reasons why I was able to go back to work by May 5th, because all the marketing and networking that I had done in April certainly paid off, and I didn't pay for any of it. All of it was free. All of the branding influencers wanted to help us during this time period, so all of their techniques and tips and everything were free. Sure, I get a lot of email for their newsletter and whatnot, but it totally was completely worth it. I can't stop talking about it, because it just, so many new connections were made that I can't talk about yet. Hopefully in August, I can release some more information of some things going on in the background from the April downtime that I had.
Yes, but that's just an example of people, you know, we always have this discussion about overnight success. But people tend to just see the fruit of what you've been working on for years. So like you said, you started this in April, but a lot of people will begin to see some of the things that you started back in April. They'll see them in August. So that's wonderful. So Allison, what you do is you help people become organized and put all their items in order and maybe get rid of some of that junk. But our next guest, he's not focused on junk. He's focused on, let's say, items in a museum. Let's introduce our museum curator, Mr. Denny Daniel. Good morning, Denny. How are you?
Good.
You look good. You look relaxed. You look comfortable. What do you have back there?
I've got a lot of interesting things that are always surrounding me. So I brought for you, if we were doing this 100 years ago, the camera we would use would probably be a 3D Brownie from around 1905. Wow. That would take a 3D picture. Or our audio might be one of these, an original wax cylinder player from Thomas Edison.
Wow. And you just have that in your, is this your house, your office?
It's both. I kind of opened it up to the public when everyone begged me to have actual presentations here. And here, I'll play you a moment. Let's see if I can get it to play.
I love it. That is so beautiful. How do you find all this stuff? Do people like Allison bring it to you?
Yes, I get a lot of donations now. There's like, Allison, you'll be impressed. There's about 18,000 people on the email list. And wow. They're really, really sweethearts and great fans. And they'll come to shows and they'll often bring donations, things from their house. So as far as organizing is concerned, people clean up their house and I end up making them happy because they have a place to put it where it can educate kids and adults.
Wow. How did you get into this?
So I was working in lots of places like Statue of Liberty and you know, doing New York Times covers, web design, photography, film. And I found that, you know, at the end of the day, I wasn't making my mark on the world, changing the world in some sort of way, making the world a better place. I felt like I was just kind of dressing people in the morning, doing things, you know, that weren't changing things. So I wanted to do what I called a mitzvah job. And I kept thinking, what can I do? What do I like? And I said, you know, I love collecting things. I love telling stories. And I would do these events in my apartment where my friends would throw their birthday parties in my apartment because I lived right on Broadway in the middle of the city. And then people would come to my apartment and see the interesting things and we'd talk about it and it was fun. And I thought, maybe I can make that into something, take it to a school. So I went to my elementary school in Queens and did a show and told newspapers, you got to see this. Kids are going to see the history by actually touching the actual items and learning from the actual items. And they said, we're not showing up. You're not getting pictures. Forget about it. And they ended up giving me front page articles in full color with pictures and everything.
Oh, wow.
Over 10 years ago.
That is so beautiful. Like, I wish I was there. Like, I just want to go, like, literally right now, I want to walk around that couch and I want to just be nosy. I'm so nosy, which is why I do the Roundtable Talk Show. I love to just, you know, inquire minds, and I see pictures and I see all kind of things that I would just like, what is this? What is this? This is so interesting. But see, the thing about me is I wouldn't be able to do that because all of those things would be on eBay if left to me.
That's okay, because then I'll get them.
That's true.
I'll find them on eBay and get them. So that's perfect. Do that.
That's true. That's
I'm looking
true.
Behind you to see what I can add.
Don't add anything. Museum. So your museum is in New York. So that's good. That's good.
And travel. So we can go to Arizona and we can go all over the country. It actually travels and goes to school. Mm-hmm.
Go meet Allison in Fullerton. I'm sure you guys can work out some kind of, you know, partnership, joint venture, something like that.
Definitely.
I think that's wonderful. So again, we're getting into the show. It's good. It's interesting. We're having a great conversation. One of the things that I have been talking about for the last couple of months on the Roundtable Talk Show is so many people say that after this quarantine, we're going to have so many more divorces and we're going to have so many more babies. I, for one, am hoping and praying for the babies, but I don't know. We're going to talk to our next guest and kind of get her thoughts on that. Nicole Minnendorf, she is the CEO of Prosper Well. Good morning, Nicole. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great.
I'm glad to have you. Now I'm like Denny. I'm looking in the background to see if I can get something for eBay so that Denny can get it. Yes. Yes. I think I can get something from that award that you won, Gracie.
My Gracie Award. That was for a TV segment that I did. So I got to go out to New York to receive the award, which was pretty spectacular because I'm a financial advisor. I'm not in media. And so to win a media award was I was very honored.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Now, you said you're a financial advisor. We're going to talk about that. But there was also an aspect where you talk to or work with people going through a divorce.
Yes. In 1999, I became a certified divorce financial analyst. I even had a car that I drove that the license plate said was his for a while. And I'm not an advocate of divorce, and through my own divorce process that I went through a handful of years ago. But there's unfortunately a rise starting to happen of divorces with everything that's happened. And so I help a handful of people a year and specifically just handle the money. And mm-hmm. It came from a handful of people, but one woman came into my office when I was at Morgan Stanley, and this was back in 99. And she had taken the stock and had taken a 401k plan, and then she took the cabin. And so she made all these mistakes. And so one, I was frustrated as a financial advisor, but two, frustrated as a woman, that this attorney just allowed her to go through the divorce process and didn't look at these horrible tax ramifications and just everything that this woman went through. And so it just, I get passionate about things when I see things that are just not very right. And so that's how I ended up on that path and help a handful of people each year with the divorce process, just from the money side of things.
What are some key guidelines that you should take, you can, I won't say should, but you can take into account when contemplating a divorce financially?
Yeah, I mean, the more you can agree and the more you can communicate, the better off you are. You know, I got a phone call yesterday from a gentleman, and I had helped his good friend probably 10 years ago through a divorce. And I sat down with his wife and him. And so that's where, like, the more you can do on your own, the more you can do through mediation, the more you can communicate with your significant other, the less expensive the process is going to be, and generally the better it's going to be for you and if you have children. Because a lot of times, most, like, people just rush and get divorced, but most of the work that attorneys are doing is post-decree. And so that's where it's like, you could rush and get this great divorce decree, but then if you spend the next, you know, 10 years in court, it's not really worth it. And so the more you can communicate, the better off you are.
I was joking a little bit as far as the divorces and the babies that are a result of the COVID-19. But one of the things that I have definitely seen as a trending topic is finances, where there are people who said, you know what, I'm just going completely into savings mode, where there are other people who, like people who have received either grants or maybe it's their unemployment, they're like, okay, I have money. I haven't had money in some time. Let me go and start spending or buying. Or there are other people who say, you know what? I really want to invest, but I don't know what to do. For any or all of those people, what have you seen over the last few months and what are your thoughts?
Well, we've been extremely busy to the fact that I've got a stack of resumes on my desk that we need to hire another team member. And there's seven of us here so far. And so unfortunately, we have clients that are losing their jobs. So we're busy from that standpoint. But the majority of our busy is coming from new clients. And I'm seeing a trend of a lot of single men that have a lot of money sitting in their checking account that they're like, hey, I should probably do something with this. And I've never had a financial plan and I should get one. And so that's just been a very interesting trend, as well as I've seen the trend of the divorce rate potentially going up, as well as a lot of people really kind of reflecting and thinking, you know, we've had clients that were planning on retiring in a couple of years and they're like, you know what? I'm done now. And so that's where it's been a lot of adjusting current financial plans for people, as well as those that haven't done any planning, because this time I really feel like has been given us the opportunity to just stop and reflect and say, you know, what's really important. And I have trademarked the Live It List, which is basically your bucket list. And I'm all about, part of our financial planning is, yes, we'll help get you to retirement, we'll help get your kids to college, but really what's important to you and what's on your Live It List and where do you want to spend your time and where do you want to spend your money? Because one in three Americans is happy. My best friend who's out in LA, she will tell me one in 40 is happy in LA. But the concept behind it is, you know, studies show if you spend money on experiences, you're going to be happier than if you spend money on things. And so this time that I really feel like has given people this opportunity to say, okay, what's really important? Like, where am I working? What am I doing? How am I using my money? And people have been spending less money overall because they've been stuck at home and haven't been traveling and doing the entertainment and the things that they're used to. So it's been a good reflection. And it really also proved how many people don't listen to me because I did a radio show for 5 years. My fifth book came out in September and I'm just this huge advocate of have liquid money for emergencies. And it, you know, this economic stimulus check that everyone got, and it just, you know, the panic that ensued for people, it just proves, you know, the importance of financial planning and getting your finances in order.
Have you seen, because I was discussing this with another one of my guests that were on a panel, their focus though was estate planning, but it was more of a mindset of people who were like, you know what? I wasn't prepared. I wasn't prepared. I wasn't prepared as far as my savings. I didn't have a living will. I don't have, you know, a power of attorney. So did you just, I mean, I know you mentioned it earlier, but there was a, like a complete increase of people looking at their lives overall and what they have and what they need.
Yep. And one of the things we've done is I've been trying to be a huge advocate of positive information and a huge influence for that. And so we've done tons of videos and we're on social media and LinkedIn, but we started sending out emails to those clients as well as prospective clients in our database. And so this week we just sent out an email with my daughter dressed up in a T-Rex costume, handing out baskets just to random people, you know, like one was a nurse and just a basket of wine and goodies and all sorts of fun things. But what we've prepared in the email that's going out next week, we came up with a document called My Legacy. And it's really to that document to help pull everything together, because this has Prince, I feel like, was a huge awareness for people of, oh my gosh, I need an estate plan. I need to get my ducks in order. But now I feel like with the whole COVID that people have also that kind of gotten that little kick that they've needed to say, oh my gosh, like I'm not prepared. If something were to happen to me, who knows where my safe deposit box is? Who knows the number? Who knows, do I have a will? Where does my stuff go to? And so we came up with a document to help people think through some of these things, because that's usually the hardest part. No one wants to think about when they're dying and when they're no longer around, but the importance of preparing for those moments and those things that we don't necessarily expect in life called life.
Yes. So we have those unexpected things. We discuss divorce and we discuss babies, but we all know first comes love, then comes marriage, and then comes that little baby and that baby carriage. We're going to plan for the best. So we're going to introduce our next guest, Joanne Moore, who helps people create dream weddings. Good morning, Joanne. How are
Good
you?
Good morning, Sharifa. What an honor. Yes, I want to just say quickly, Greg, thank you for your service. I am married to a fire chief, and my youngest son is a wildland firefighter that's usually deployed about now, but actually he's still around in town. And then my oldest son is a in the Coast Guard. He is a chief warrant officer. So when I hear people helping the military and firefighters, I so get it. And I, of one, appreciate that. So thank you. And Nicole, I hope none of my clients ever come see you with regards to divorcing, because that's not what I'm about. I always find the fun time of what I do. I've got my book here. But yes, I have the great honor of helping couples work through some fabulous, amazing weddings in some of the best locations. And right now, I'm finding that I'm using my superpower of staying calm during a crisis, trying to get my clients through these challenging and difficult times. So it has been like no other summer. And I was part of the 2008 recession and still had a lot of weddings. I think I had 17 weddings still move forward during that recession. And then we come on this COVID, and this is another little bug that I just am like at awe what it has done to an industry of talented, talented people, photographers, caterers, floral designers, venues that are just exquisite that are missing out. And all of my friends have been furloughed. And you know, when you see a beautiful mountaintop and you can't get to it because everything's closed for a wedding, it has been challenging, and so many broken hearts with, you know, the excitement and build of a wedding, and then the letdown of now you've got to wait a little longer, or you have to cut and make it very, very small, which several of my clients are doing. It's challenging, but I love what I do. I'm very blessed to work in an industry. I used to work in the medical field, cardiopulmonary, and then I switched over and working. So I went from the sick heart to the lovesick heart, and love what I do. I truly feel blessed. And some of the clients that I've worked with actually are in the book, but don't tell them. But I've gotten to work and meet some of the most amazing couples with love stories like no other, as well as working with some celebrities and politicians, athletes, and just everyday folks that just have this romantic happily ever after to plan on. And so that's, I have a joyful career. That's what I do. I also get to speak at conferences. Once you do this enough, they ask you to speak. So I have been speaking on a lot of webinars, Allison. So that's been fun and challenging as well, because I'm working and shifting things. And then also I do some writing as well. So yeah, busy girl.
You seem busy, but I'm just going to ask one of my nosy questions. And I always tell people up front they're nosy just because that's who I am. But do you do home decor? Did you decorate your home?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. This is my office.
Okay. Oh, why? Did you decorate your office?
This is my office. And the, yeah, my hall. Yeah, that's part of what I do as a career, is I design weddings and stuff. So
why is it beautiful? No, I mean, it's just beautiful. Oh, No, but it is. But it, like, you work with people on weddings, but just being in this office is like romantic. It's like the reds and the pillows and everything just pops. It's like I would just walk in there and I'd be like, you know what? I want to get married. I don't know why, but there's something about this room.
Yes, I want it calm and organized. Thank you for that. I do want it organized and calm. And that's what we in the industry have to present to couples who's, think about a couple getting married and what they're bringing in. Their expectations are up here. They're spending this. They're bringing in the dysfunctions of two families that may or may not have met. And that's the making of the Bermuda Triangle, I'm sure of it. And so, and we're in the middle trying to keep everything calm and moving forward and yet memorable in all kinds of ways for the right reasons, not because, you know, a chair got thrown out the window, but because it was romantic and beautiful. So the memories that I hope to build in the industry are ones that are of sweetness and kindness and family, and not of the drama and trauma, the mama drama and the hangover Hank kind of stories. I don't like those, so we deal with it.
May we see your book again? Can you tell us a little bit about Laughter All the Way? What is it? Laughter All the Way to the Altar.
Yeah, it's Laughing All the Way to the Altar. Laughing. It is based on, attorney told me to say that, based on real life, true happenings that have happened that I've experienced at many of my events, and can't make this stuff up, but yet you can't believe it either, because, and I've been through it all. I've been doing events for over 30 years and literally hundreds and hundreds of weddings and problems and issues, and never had a runaway bride. That's the number one question I get. Have you ever had a runaway bride? No, but I've had several I wished would have. Like, no, what are you thinking? Do you not see what the world sees right now? But it's yeah. So between the book, and I'm started on my next one, and trying to get through COVID and keeping my clients calm and not letting them feel that the world is crashing down on top of them because of everything that we've seen, and knowing that true love, you know, is stronger than anything. And if you can get through a COVID and riots and all of this other negative stuff going on right now, what's coming up at the end is your pot of gold. It is that happily ever after. Call me a romantic, it's okay. But I truly believe that getting through the hardness of the beginning makes for just an exquisite life. It's like, well, if we can get through that, this is nothing.
So well, I'm a hopeless romantic as well. I love, you know, and we're going to have to get you to give us one of those stories. One of the funny stories when I got married to my kid's father is right before the wedding. I was so nervous and I kept telling everybody, no, everything is going to go wrong. It's going to go wrong. I want it to be perfect, you know. And so we got married. We had the wedding reception and everything was perfect. We went on our honeymoon. Everything was perfect. We came back and I was, you know, the family kind of welcomed us back. So we were sitting there talking and I was like, I'm just so glad my wedding was just perfect. And everybody looks at each other and they're like, should we tell her? And I'm like, tell me what? And they're like, this happened and this happened and this happened, and somebody got into a fight at the wedding. But the whole time people were like, keep it away from Sharifa, like, don't let her see, like, because they, but I really appreciated that they were so concerned about my special day and it just being perfect. But at the end they were like, let's tell you. you everything that happened. So I know I want to get a story from you, Joanne, but I want to go back over to Nicole real quick. I thought I saw you raise a book or mention a book. You have a book. I think
I do.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is my fifth one that came out titled Who Pays? Navigating Love and Money. Mm-hmm. And so it came from, I was divorced legally in 2012. And my best friend from college is like, you know, there's no books on dating and money. I'm like, well, I'm not an expert because I got married right out of college. And so I just started on this path. But then really what I realized is once I started writing it, clients found out, and a number of clients said, Nicole, you saved our marriage. Mm-hmm. And so it really became more into this relationship book of like, what's your own relationship with money, let alone your relationship with your significant other. So chapter 9 is all just questions. Mm-hmm. And so it's questions one to ask yourself, let alone questions to ask your significant other or when you're dating. Not on the first date though. I don't recommend that.
Okay. So I think that's one of those book clubs. Like you get together a whole bunch of people with some wine, and then you sit there and ask those questions. I think that would be fun. I think I'm gonna have to get that book, Nicole. Is there anything about who pays for a first date though?
Yes, the man. Sorry, Nicole. Greg and Denny.
You see what
are
I'm
you gonna pay with that?
Nicole?
No, what is that, Denny?
So I brought something out for Nicole. Nicole, yes, did you ever have to say to one of the guys, you're as phony as a $3 bill? Well, they made a $3 bill. That is an original 1800s $3 bill. From where else would you get a $3 bill but Hoboken?
Wow.
So So the next time someone says to you, Nicole, that, oh, my significant other is as phony as a $3 bill, tell them, well, they did make $3 bills. So there you go.
Can you send me that? I need that, Denny. Can you send that to me? I need some more things for eBay.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
I will send you my $3 bill.
Thank you. I'm going to be waiting.
It'll cost me $4 to send you my $3 bill.
I'm going to send you $7. Okay. How about that? I'm going to cover it all. $3 for the bill, $4 for shipping, and then I'm going to sell it on eBay for at least $2.5 million.
Sharifa, I have to take Nicole's advice and the guy has to pay for the first one.
No, I believe that though. I mean, I believe that. It's just like so many people are in this society, in society now are more like, okay, well, you know, we could go Dutch or we could do this. And one guy, I remember when I was out dating, who is still one of my really close friends to this day, we went on a date and he didn't pay. Well, he did pay, but he sat down, he said, Sharifa, I want you to know that this is not a date. He was like, it's friends getting together over a meal. And I said, that's fine, as long as you get the bill. And so for the, we went out, we still kind of hang out. And this was like 14 years ago. We still see each other, but I just loved having that conversation up front day one. So there weren't any questions, but I never pay for a date. That's just, you pay for dates, Allison? Cause we've been trying to find you a man for some time. Not fine, but you know, we've been doing our you know what I'm talking about, Allison.
Well, I did the dating, online dating app, and I had very strict boundaries, let's put it so to speak, and found out that no one wanted boundaries or to respect them. And so the first date was always a controversy because men the men I was speaking to were getting upset that they were being taken advantage of. That they were expected to pay for some, you know, $300 dinner and, you know, a night on the town. And what did they get in return? Well, they didn't get any booty, so they weren't interested. And I was like, you get the presence of my company. So that should be worth the value of whatever dinner we're having. But for the most part, I was more interested in genuine conversation than a $300 dinner that was going to leave my body in a couple hours. Mm-hmm. So I kind of went off the dating scene to work on my profile, on my career. It's not really, it hasn't been a high priority in the past year, at least. I just haven't thought much about it and deleted all my profiles and just really haven't looked back. It just really hasn't been important to me, so I haven't thought about it. I already have my second wedding planned out on how I want to execute it way differently than the first wedding. First of all, by just having a better partner. I was not in an equal marriage before. I was always treated like a child through the whole process. So, and I never was equal or on the same playing field. So just as a lot has changed since 2011 when my divorce was finalized.
Yeah. Greg, how you doing back there?
I'm doing good. I was actually going to say, I met my wife online probably 8 or 9 years ago. So yeah, I mean, dating is tough, but you know, there is that pot of gold at the end. And yeah, so I'm just kind of hanging out, just enjoying all your guys' conversation and taking it all in. So
you met your wife online 8 or 9 years ago. What was the process like? Was she the first one? You know, had you talked to a few people? She not going to hear this, Greg. Focus on me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, she's not on Facebook. It's fine.
No, but I'm saying, like, you may have inboxed a couple of other women. You know what I'm saying? But so many people are scared, are afraid to go online because, you know, they don't know what the process is like. I'm just trying to find out about the process.
Oh, no, of course. I can totally talk about it. We've talked about it pretty openly. Yeah, she wasn't the first person I went out with, and I was probably not the first person that she went out with as well. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the process, you know, like Allison was saying, it's work. It's, you know, it's not like, it's like a second job sometimes where you're trying to, you know, talk to people, organize. So yeah, it's definitely a process. It took me probably 2 or 3 years. I don't know if I was very picky. I probably was, but I'm really thankful that I was, because I ended up with a partner that I wanted, you know, that I wanted to be with, and I wanted a sports girl. I'm into sports. So, you know, it took me some time to find my match, but yeah, the process can be a little bit grueling, but, you know, knock on wood, so far, so good.
I love it. Yeah. You'll be great. You know what I mean? Because she loves you. You love her. It's wonderful. I could tell. And I could tell when you came on and you started talking about real estate that you weren't single. It's certain professions, I'm like, they gotta have a wife. Some woman was like, he's a keeper. But I have a friend who I always talk about on the show. First of all, about 6 weeks ago, she decided she wanted to get a divorce. And I kept telling her, this is not a good time for a divorce. Like, we are in a global pandemic. Like, what if we have to go live in the woods or something? Like, who's going to cut the firewood? Who's going to put the water in the well? Like, just wait a minute. So that kind of worked for a little bit. But like about a week ago, she's like, no, I'm out. So she left her husband. She's been at my house talking to me, driving me crazy with all these dating things that she wants to do. But I told her, I said, just go on the dating sites and have fun. Don't look for Mr. Right. Don't look for your husband. Just decide that you want to get out the house and you want to meet new people. You know, I think if people go into it with a different mindset or a different expectation, then they may have different results. I don't know. I'm not the expert. I just talk. That's what I do. What are your thoughts on that, Joanne?
Well, I've had couples meet on Tinder and come to find out that in front of the parents and how embarrassed they were to blurt it out a few cocktails later. But several couples have met on Tinder and different dating websites. But a lot of them, you know, church groups, outings with their buddies, introduced through their buddies. My husband, I was married previously, and I used to set him up with dates with my friends that were all disasters. And then many years later, when I divorced, and my husband was my then friend was still single, and I had some tragedy with my dad passed away unexpectedly, and he was just a dear, dear friend. And we started dating. I was already divorced and everything. We started dating and we were like friends. It was kind of weird at first, but it, you know, 26 years later, it's still going strong. I couldn't be happier. So, you know, however, just, you know, spend the time to know the person. I mean, I knew him because I set him up on dates and he would tell me all the horror stories. It's like, why would you think her? But yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you've been married for 26 years and this is your second marriage? Look at all the 35. How are you going to be married for 26 years for your second husband? With your second husband?
I know. And I have my oldest baby is, how old is Daniel now? I should know. I was there. I think he's like approaching 40. So I was very young, not too bright when I first got married. And kind of put all my dreams on hold to do, you know, the Catholics get married early kind of thing and start a family. And but I don't regret one second of it. I have five amazing children that I'm just blessed with that are all productive and doing great things in the world. A teacher, my other daughter is a surgical technician in a veterinary hospital. I have a son who's a business owner up in Vail, Colorado. And so, and then the Coast Guard and the wildland, I'm just blessed. You know, they're productive and giving back. And that's all I've asked of them their whole lives is just give back. Do something that is productive to the world and give back. Don't be selfish with doing crazy things. And so thank you, God, they have. But of course, I don't sleep much with a Coast Guard and a couple of firefighters in the family. So
I can imagine. But is your business owner in Vail, do they own a resort?
No, he owns a vending and video business that has all the vending machines and video games and other things like that, you know, ATMs and all that, but all the various resorts, mostly in the mountain regions and the mountain resorts. But it's hard work and he's been doing it forever. It's extremely successful. I couldn't be prouder of him, but a lot of hard work. Yeah.
No, that's wonderful. I was just asking because if he had a resort, I was heading to Vail and I was going to say, you know, your mother would want you to give me the best room possible, the best VIP service possible. If we all want to make mom happy, don't we?
Yes, and they do. It's very hard to make mama happy because if mama ain't happy, nobody's happy.
Denny's giving us something else. We need explanations, Denny.
What is that?
So that is for your husband. That is a vintage Space Invaders from the Atari game.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure he's still dealing with these cartridges, an Atari 2600.
Wow.
And no, for you,
I wanted to say that I am accepting taking interviews for Leo personalities that are, I want to definitely match up with be a power couple. Like I've been talking to realtors and other blue collar type stuff. I feel like that's a good fit for me. So I jokingly said a couple days ago that I'm taking interviews for the next husband.
we gonna marry you all. We gonna marry you all. Don't worry. I got you. I'm every guest that comes on the show. I'm like, Are you single? Denny, you single? Denny, are you single? Denny, you got a wife?
I've never been married. I have no kids. I can't tell you how many times I teach in schools and everyone keeps going, how are you not married? How did that happen? And I'm like, well, I've got amazing amount of wonderful friends and all the kids in the world are my kids now. So
that is so beautiful. What I love about Denny is that we can mention a word. Like I almost want to just come up with a word right now. And Denny's like, I got that. You know what I mean? Like, what about some clothing? I want some 1912 dresses.
Oh, I got one for you.
Hang on. I told you. I know. I can call it.
Nicole, would it have been a good idea to invest in Zoom stock before COVID-19? Did anyone notice that?
and I am a huge Peloton person. So,
oh yes, there's a huge community of like 46,000 members on Facebook, and they're all looking, you know, for discounted, you know, people selling their bikes and stuff like that. So,
Let me know. So, Sharifa, you're going to be very happy you asked for that. You're going to be amazed, and I think every woman in this panel will be amazed because I have two dresses here, one of which is an original 1880s bustle dress.
Wow.
So all of you women, I hope, are wearing the proper bustle dress now so that you could be proper ladies in 1880. Of course, the suffragette movement, the women's movement, fought against such, it's practically bondage, these dresses, where between the corset and the bustle, you couldn't even dance because you couldn't go backwards if you were dancing. All steps had to be forward because if you went backwards, you'd probably kill your date. So of course I brought for you a suffragette dress.
Wow. So
that is an original early 1900s suffragette dress. This is the jacket part of the dress.
Wow.
And you notice that it's very military looking. This is the British suffragette movement. The American was more those white frilly dresses with the beautiful hats. The British, just like punk rock, they felt that you, to affect change, you would have to shake things up. So they went a little more militant with their movement. The Americans felt that you get more bees with honey. So they felt if we dress up more girly and all that kind of thing, we would affect more change that way. It's just different ways to skin a cat. Sorry, cat. There you go. Those are your dresses from over 100 years ago.
I love it. If I had more time, I'd come up with more words, because I look, you keep leaving, you keep walking off camera, and I know there's a whole like warehouse next to you. I'm like, I don't even know what to ask for next, but I loved it. I enjoyed it. And we are Carissa, coming back.
I think you've started something, and you'll always, for years to come, we hope to get a building and actually have in New York City, a Museum of Interesting Things. And I think I'm going to do a theme where people just say a word and I just find something that I love that idea. I think I'm going to do that.
Okay, but do I get a Sharifa Hardy wing or something? Like Nicole? Yes. I'll talk to Nicole because I think they try to get me for some of my money. I think that's due to me.
I see royalties in this. Thank you.
The money girl. Yes, I'm going to be paying her in $3 bills. Honestly, I'm as honest as a $3 bill.
Do you have the $500 bill?
I don't have the $500. I do know the designer of the $100 bill that put that strip through it. I'm on the board of the 3D Society, and one of our board members actually designed that strip. So I have kind of a connection to the $100. I don't have a $500. If I did, I'd spend it.
That is wonderful. I had such a wonderful time today meeting all of you. Now we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show, and what I love to do at the end of every show is just allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who's watching live, as well as everyone who's watching this show in the archives, and let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance. So I'm going to go ahead and start with you, Greg.
All right, I guess I'm on the spot here. So for my takeaways, being a realtor here in Phoenix, my big goal or my big why is to give back to the local community, the local heroes. So that would be my biggest takeaway is, with everything going on in the world, really do think about the heroes that are keeping our society safe, our community safe. Whether you agree with the politics or not, I'm not even going to get into that, but that's my biggest takeaway is, I really found my why of what I'm doing in life, and it's really made me happy, and I'm really excited to wake up every day and tackle real estate. So that's my biggest takeaway.
Thank you. I'm like Joanne, just thank you. Thank you for doing what you do, and thank you for being who you are. Denny, sprinkle a little magic into the show.
So as you know, I curate the Museum of Interesting Things, and my love is to, show people interesting things, but to bring back positivity, to bring back curiosity, to bring back that era that we all remember that America and the world was like, and people still have that in them. So any opportunity to kind of show interesting things and stuff like that. So definitely all of you email me and I'll invite you to one of the virtual things. And the next time you're in New York getting an award, Nicole, you'll have to stop by the museum and see our speakeasy. And the next time we do this roundtable, maybe we'll just do it where everyone just says a word for an entire hour, and I'll be under the pressure of trying to find something to match that word. We've got a thing going on for your next.
We got a thing. So we need you to do your part on that thing and go to ashsharifa.com today, select be a guest, grab another seat, and when you come back, I'm going to come up with a whole bunch of words to see if you can find them in your warehouse.
And there's going to be a file of all of this that you're going to have on the website that I can post so that for years to come, people can find this.
That would be the archive, Denny.
Excellent. I'm going to link to the archive because then it's there forever.
Absolutely. That's why I love it. We can always look back. And that's how I refer people, because I love to just tell people, I met this great person and she does weddings, and I met this realtor and he does this. And instead of having to share, tell them all about you, I just send them the link. Now, Joanne, what do you have for us?
Oh, I really want to express first, thank you for letting me be a part of this fun time, but also that even during this very trying time, still believe in your dreams and your happily ever afters, because this is just one part of your life together as a couple. And once we get through this, and if you can get through this, as I said, I truly believe my superpower is staying calm during a crisis and with all the things, and I'm doing lots of two and a few ceremonies right now. It's a difficult time, but stay positive and stay looking forward. And there will be a celebration. It's not going to be what you thought it would be. It could be even better and bigger. So that's my hope. And because I wrote a funny book, I say always laugh about things, because sometimes there's no other choice. You just have to know that life is silly and throws you curveballs, but we stay laughing and stay positive and stay happy and blessed.
Yes. Yes, but I forgot. I wanted to get, you got to give us at least one story in the book. No names, but at least one story.
Right now, you want me to just whip one out?
Yes.
Okay, one of the most popular in the book is of a small wedding on a cliff in late spring in the mountains of Colorado. And as they're saying their vows, I'm seeing this huge storm coming over the ridge right towards us. Now, we're way up high. There's a lake below us, and we're about a half a mile from where the vehicles are. We had to hike into this location. The storm comes over. I'm telling the officiant, hurry up. And sure enough, the storm hits us dead on. This happened to be a Scottish wedding, and they were all wearing kilts. And the wind and them running, the girls in the heels getting stuck in the snow. Yeah, and my cartoon artist, this is what happened, and it is true. I now know what is under those kilts. Amen.
Great, amen, great story. I'm glad I asked. Allison, what do you have for us?
Pretty much, you know, I help so many people deal with their clutter and really just emphasize the most important things in life. It's your loved ones. It's not your collection of baseball cards from 1992. It's not anything tangible. It's the most important things in life is your family. And so I do that a lot through my organizing, reminding them the goal, reminding them what's important, and just encouraging, you know, people that, you know, to just take those experiences and take those memories that you have. And there's no point on keeping things that, you know, it sounds cliche, it don't bring you joy, but in the sense that it doesn't bring back those good memories. So the rest of it is just stuff. It can be replaced, it can be rebought, it can be sold. It doesn't matter. Focus on your family and being with your loved ones, and the rest of the stuff just doesn't matter.
Yes, you had a tip in one of the other shows. It was something to the extent of, if you haven't touched it in a certain amount of time or a certain amount of years, then just get rid of it without looking into it. Was that, did I remember that correctly?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely encourage my clients to not keep things just in case. Later is now. It's usually when I show up that, you know, I'm going to do this later. Great, let's do it now. Oh, I'm going to do this when my kids are grown up. Nope, you're really not. It's just a false thing you're telling yourself. Let's do that hobby now. Open those package of wedding dishes now. If you've been married for 25 years and still haven't opened up that Cuisinart mix and chop thing that you got as a wedding present, you're probably never going to use it if you haven't. So either open it now and use it, or donate it. Some other person really wants a mix and chop or whatever. And, you know, bless another family with something that they need, and use that now. And like I said, later is here. Usually when I show up to organize, later doesn't exist anymore. You're going to do it now. I'm going to make you do it. I'm going to rip that Band-Aid off, and we're going to do it and get it done.
I love it. Rip that Band-Aid off. I don't know why I'm getting feedback all of a sudden. But I know Nicole knows all about ripping those Band-Aids off. Nicole, what do you have for us?
Oh, just money sometimes can be so overwhelming and intimidating, and you don't have to feel it like that. You just have a plan and take one thing and just have it be a goal that you're going to learn one thing every day, or that you're going to do one thing every day. So talk to your significant other. Two of my favorite tools is have a money date. And so if you're single, that's a money date with yourself. If you're in a relationship, that's a money date with your significant other. And look at, you know, what's your life insurance? What's your cell phone bill? What are you spending every single month versus then also the 401k is in the investments and the retirement. And then the second thing is if you have kids, setting up a family 401k. And so what you can do is your kids start learning these terms, but you set up a family 401k, you meet with your kids and you come up with what do you want to save the money for. So my kids bought a trampoline, an Xbox, a hoverboard, whatever it is. So let's say it's a trampoline. You need to come up with $500. You figure out how much you have to come up with. And then your kids, when they get their allowance, they put money in there. But let's say they put in a dollar. Well, then you give them a match. So if they put in a dollar, you put in a dollar, or if they put in a dollar, you put in 50 cents, whatever you fits with your budget and your family. One, you're going to buy the trampoline anyway. So you're teaching your kids that we don't have to have stuff immediately. And that's not necessarily what makes us happy. And so it's a great fun family tool that people can use to help make money a little bit more real and teach a lot of great values.
I love that. When you say a family 401k, is that a literal 401k or is that just like opening up a savings account and this is going to be our 401k?
Yep. We literally, the box behind me, that's what we have at our house. And so it's just a shadow box. We sell them on NicoleMiddendorf.com.
But it's just a shadow. Box. What's
yeah,
the box?
The box right here. So it says family 401k.
Oh, see, I love that. I want to buy that.
And so we sell these. So you can sell them at NicoleMiddendorf.com. And so you just open up and the kids toss their money in and then I toss in the match. And then when you've accumulated enough money, then you go buy the trampoline or whatever it is. So yeah, it's been a fun little tool.
You know what, Nicole? I have never, ever in my life seen that before. Maybe I don't get out often, but I've never seen that before.
Well, that's where, like, your typical financial advisor is a 59-year-old male. That's not me. And so we just do things a little bit differently, a little bit more creatively. So it's a lot of fun.
Well, you know what? Thank you. Thank you all for being a guest on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I know I had a lot of fun and I learned a lot. I hope you did as well. I also want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch the show live, as well as everyone who's watching in the archives. Thank you for your support, but I'm also going to ask you to support our guests. Take a look at their websites and their information in the post in this Facebook Live. Go to their websites, follow them on social media, but when you speak to them, please let them know Sharifa Hardy said hi. And if you are interested in being a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, please visit the website at asksharifa.com. Until tomorrow at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.